This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday morning, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Lindsay White of Lexington, Kentucky, and you are listening to a special safety episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 25th, episode 857. This episode is brought to you by High Visibility North America. You can find them at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Good morning, Horse World.
We want you to think safe, ride safe, and be safe.
Wait a minute, 99. That gives me an idea.
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet. I got a beauty.
All right, let's roll. Hey, let's be careful out there.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning here at Horses in the Morning. We have Lindsay White back with us from Riders for Helmets, and she is joining us on another safety episode. We do this the fourth Tuesday of every month. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning.
I apologize in advance for my voice, which might leave me during the show because Jennifer and I are both trying to get colds. So I'm drugging heavily.
Aww.
So if my voice doesn't quit, I might fall asleep. I'm just warning you. One or the other.
You know what? You decide to take a little nap. We'll keep it on going. Don't you worry.
Okay, good. I count on that. yeah, I wish. Not going to happen. Well, you're welcome back to the show. We're going to get to see you. I'm going to get to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're coming in for Road to the Horse.
Yeah, Road to the Horse, I'll be there, and you're going to be set up and over at, where are you going to be anyway?
We're going to be with Double Down Horsemanship.
Okay. And now, are they set up in the building or in a tent? Do you know how that works?
They are. They have a pretty big booth, huge booth, actually, at Road to the Horse, and we're going to be working with them with High Visibility, yeah.
Okay, because I was talking to one of our friends from the Staple Scoop radio show, and she's going to be working. I guess Dan James has a big setup there as well.
Yeah, that Double Down Horsemanship is Dan James.
Oh, that's right. Are they the same? I couldn't remember whether they were the same one or
duh,
not.
Glenn, duh. I think it must be the cold medication.
It has to be. I think he had a clinic. Jennifer, isn't he the one that had the clinic, I think, down here? Just down the street from our house was last weekend. They had a couple clinics.
Yes,
but
that's the one.
But, yeah, so it's going to be fun to be up there. I've never seen Road to the Horse before. Have you?
I have. I actually was lucky enough to go last year, and it was the first year they held it in Lexington because it was previously held down in Texas. And there was about 6,000 people there. It was a pretty big event. And I have to tell you, I was like, wow, that some of the things they do with those horses, I don't know how they get them to do them, but very, very impressive.
Everybody that has gone, whether you ride English or Western or whether you train horses or don't, has been very impressed, and they've come away saying it's one of the coolest things they've ever seen. It just seems to be universal that everybody says that.
It really, really was. I mean, I was texting people and saying, I can't believe they just did that. You know, I mean, it really was pretty cool. I mean, I have to say, obviously, I ride English, but to watch what they were doing with the horses, and there was one particular competitor who had, I think she had a buffalo and a zebra. And anyway, when you put a buffalo zebra and an equestrian together, makes life interesting. That's all I can say. And you have to see it to believe it, but it was something to be seen.
Wow. And, you know, this really has become like the Super Bowl of horse training competitions. You know, It started years ago, and we've been kind of following it here at the Horse Radio Network for the last 5 years, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think it was a good move to move it to the Kentucky Horse Park. There's just more room than where they were before, and they're able to do more things. Plus, you know, parking's just everything was better.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think it would just brought so many, like you say, different disciplines together. So it's a perfect place to have it because you had all the people that came from out of state that are your Western riders, because obviously there's not as many based in Kentucky and Lexington. But, you know, they were rubbing shoulders with the English riders, and it was just so great to see the camaraderie. You know, there was just so many different, you know, disciplines represented in the audience at the event. And I think that was just so great that everybody came together, because there's not that many events, in fairness, where you get that. You know, you have your Rolex, which is obviously all English, then you have your big Western reining shows, which is all reining. But, you know, Road to the Horse really does bring all disciplines together.
Well, and I think what ties it together is the fact that every horse, whether you're riding in English or Western or you're driving it like I do, they all need broke. At some point, they got to get,
you know,
broke.
Let me tell you, Dan James got a dud horse last year. I felt so bad for him. That thing just looked him in the eye, and it was a mean horse. You could just tell. And it was like, dude, I'm going to so embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything you want me to do. And that, and right to the end, I have to tell you, I felt bad for the guy, because he is amazing as a trainer, and that horse just had it in for him. It really did.
You know, and it's funny because we, you know, we've all, anybody that's had horses for a long period of time has had as many as we have, you've all had that horse too. We've all owned that horse. Now, we may have not owned it for very long till we figured it out, but we've all had that horse. We can relate.
I mean, there was one particular obstacle where it's kind of like a tunnel, but it goes kind of zigzag, and you have to get the horses to steer through it without knocking the edges of the tunnel over, which was probably like just above knee height to the horse. That thing was determined to take every single part of that obstacle down. I mean, it backed up, it jumped over, it reared, it balked. I mean, and he was patient till the end. Give the guy his due. He did not get flustered. He didn't get upset. He was still encouraging to the horse. And many people would have been like, I'm out of here. But, I mean, he really showed what a true horseman he was, because that horse was just mean.
Did he stay on? I mean, did he have any point where
he came unglued? Well, he was on the ground at that point when he was trying to get the on the ground, at least my best recollection. But even when he was on the thing, he just didn't want to do anything. It was just like, no, not having it. You got anything else you want me to do? Because I won't do that either.
Poor guy.
It was funny.
And you know what? It takes a lot of patience, because our natural instinct in situations like that is just to get mad. And
yeah,
you know, that's the natural instinct. It takes a ton of patience to deal with a horse like that.
It really does.
More than I have, I think.
Yeah, and it was kind of sad because I don't know if you heard, but Dan just lost one of his best horses to colic recently. So I think he's had a bit of a rough time of it recently.
Well, we're going to have a show for you today. Of course, this is our special safety episode, and we're going to be talking safety things as we go along. And Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up.
On today's High Visibility Sportswear North America Safety Tuesday episode, we open with an open invitation to play along with a little pop quiz on trail safety that Lindsay will be giving to Glenn. And then we get an update on the young eventer Nicole LeMay, who was recently injured, from her mom Michelle, and talk about some ways that you can help out Nicole. And so buckle up your helmet, tighten your girth, and hang on for the fracas.
Thank you, Jennifer. We do have some daily winnies for you, though, today. All right, this is going to be old for people who have listened to the show for a long period of time, but we have a lot of new listeners recently and some new people that are following us on Facebook. This comes up. It just seems to come up. Jennifer can probably tell better than me, but about every 3 or 4 months. And we just happened to have a couple of them yesterday, so that's why I'm bringing it up today. This is to all of the people out there who think I'm abusing donkeys. And the reason I'm saying that is on the top of our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, we have a picture of me sitting on a little donkey, and the donkey is being pushed by Coach Jen and pulled by Jamie. It is a perfect representation of our show and what we do here every single morning. Anybody that's a regular listener looks at that picture and goes, yep, that's what happens on Horses in the Morning. I want to clarify for the people who don't look very closely at the picture, it is not a real donkey. It is a statue. We had a couple of people yesterday take me to task about the big guy sitting on the little donkey and how cruel we are to animals. It's a statue at the Kentucky Horse Park. The statue doesn't care that I weigh 200 pounds. It really didn't care. It wasn't bothered by it at all. It's a statue. Statue. Just saying.
I have to admit, Glenn, and I feel really silly now, that I never actually realized it was a statue, but I know you well enough that I know you would never abuse a horse, so that didn't spring to mind. But I will take a closer look now, because I honestly never looked that closely at it. I really thought you were on a donkey.
You can even see at the bottom where the statue's, where the platform the statue is sitting on is. We thought it was the most hilarious photo. And you got to admit, Lindsay, it does sort of say everything about the show, right? I mean, it kind of describes the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had this discussion because it comes up on a regular basis where new people hop in and bawl me out for it. We've had this discussion about taking it down, and now I'm like, no way in hell it's ever coming off that page. That is staying up there forever.
I think you should just put a little disclaimer line on the bottom of the image saying, this is not a real donkey or something, and then you'll stop those kind of comments, you see?
Maybe I should. Donkey is metal.
Oh, metal donkey. I've got it. No donkeys were harmed in the making of this photograph.
I've started answering it snarky now. I started putting my answer is, the statue doesn't care how much I weigh. And that's how I answer it now. So, I don't know. Your turn.
Funny. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to your and Jennifer's very own rescue pony, Scooter. Because I have to say, he has become somewhat of a social media sensation, nonetheless, after starring in his very own production of Self-Cleaning Pony. Not only has Scooter's video notched up over 6,000, a whopping 6,000 shares on Facebook, but he's also prompted some great captions. And I have to tell you, the best one I've seen yet is, plays in puddles until a rider asks him to cross a trickle, then acts like water is acid. Perfect.
And that is true. He will jump over a puddle when you're driving him.
You've seen the video, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't and you're scratching your head right now, facebook.com, horses in the morning, scroll down. The video is hilarious. That pony just loves the water. I mean, I think the only thing that would be better than the video you've got now is if you had like a rubber ring around his neck and maybe a duck or maybe a ducky floating along in the water as he pulls the ground and rolls. I think next time you do the video, Jennifer, you definitely need a rubber ducky somewhere.
You know, that
rubber ducky. Yeah.
That video I'm looking now is going to hit, it will hit 1 million views today. It's crazy.
that really is. I mean, I have to. There's actually been a couple of good videos out on YouTube on Facebook lately. And there's another one I came across the other day, and I'll send you the link to it. And it's a standard bred, kind of laid down in an outside pen, and he puts his head underneath the rail and leans out of his pen to get the grass. And he's just laid on his side with his neck on his side and his head on the ground eating grass, and it's hilarious. And that one came out of Australia, and I think that's had 15,000 shares on Facebook. It's amazing how those videos can go so viral, you know?
It's really silly, too. I mean, it's a pony rolling in water. You know, I did not expect it to go. I just put it up there for our regular listeners who wanted an update on Scooter and wanted to see him lately, and that's the only reason I put it up there. I never, ever thought it would go viral like that. It's gone to his head, too. Now he has a big head, and he wants more food and more treats all the time.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I made the mistake of telling him. So.
Awesome.
Well, you have a test for us today. I have not. I'm going to – this is a disclaimer. I have not seen this test. So This is new for me.
The questions aren't too hard. I think you'll be okay. How many do you think you'll get? There's 10 questions. How many do you
What's it about?
It's about safety. It's a safety quiz. All aspects of safety. And to be fair, I will say Glenn has not had prior disclosure of the questions. Neither has Jennifer, because I know she'd share them with him. So out of 10, what do you think you'll get?
Oh, it's on, is it horse safety? Just checking.
It's horse safety, and I give credit to the folks at Horse Channel for this quiz, because that's where this quiz came from. But
I'm going to get 5 out of 10.
You're going to get 5. Jennifer, how many did you think he'll get?
He's going to get 3.
3.
Come on. You've got to give me more credit than that.
You have little faith.
She has so much confidence in me, my wife.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to say I think you're going to get 7.
Look, Lindsay has more confidence in me than you do.
Well, she knows what the questions are.
That's right. Fabulous.
All right, I'm ready.
Have you got a drum roll? Do we have any drum roll?
No, but we have this.
No, we have this one.
Which one? Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Jennifer, if you get one wrong, please play an appropriate sound for us.
I will.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question number 1. And it's multiple choice, so you'll have to let me read.
Oh, good. Phew.
Phew. Good. The appropriate answers. That's why I think you'll get 7, otherwise I would have said 3, too.
Thanks for the confidence there, guys.
All right, question number 1. Brace yourself. What is the main difference between a hunt cap and a helmet? Is it that hunt caps don't have harnesses that go under the chin? Hunt caps are typically velvet covered without ventilation. Helmets are tested by independent organizations to ensure they provide protection. Or helmets are used for venting and endurance. Hunt caps are used for hunters and jumpers.
All of the above.
Wrong! Jennifer, where's the noise?
Oh,
what do you mean
we
wrong?
Need a wrong noise? Okay, wrong noise.
What do you mean wrong?
It's incorrect. Well, we were looking for one answer, okay? And the answer is helmets are tested by independent organizations to ensure they provide protection.
Well, that's true, but the first one was that hunt caps don't have straps, and traditionally they did not have straps. They were just a cap and no straps.
Okay, then I'm still going to say you got it wrong, but to help you a little bit with the further questions, there's only one correct answer out of the 4 I give you. That's the most correct of all the answers. Okay, most relevant.
Okay, but I'm starting to doubt the validity of your quiz. Let's go.
Hey, this is from Horse Channel. You can blame them, not me.
Okay.
All right, number 2. What does SEI stand for in the context of riding gear? Is it Society for Equipment Integrity, Safety Equipment Institute, Safety for Equestrian Initiatives, or Safety Examination Initiative?
Oh, boy. I think I've heard this one maybe once in the past. I'm going to go with B, the Safety Institute one.
That's correct. Safety Equipment.
Yay!
Yay!
I get one right. That was a total guess. I just... It was a total guess. I don't think I'd like to say I knew that.
For those of you listening, we want to know how many you got as well, and no cheating. Okay, number three.
I'm 1 for 1.
1 for 1. Which of the following places is not a good place to store your helmet? Is it inside your house, the trunk of your car, a heated air-conditioned tap room, or all of the above?
The trunk of your car.
Yay!
I need that one, too, because I know heat is not good for helmets. Heat's not good for helmets. Helmets do not like heat because they break down and biodegrade.
That's correct. Well done. Two for one, Glenn. Two for one.
Okay, good.
Oh, pressure, pressure. You're going to get...
I'm almost at, what Jennifer said I would get, and I got a lot more to go.
That's what I was just going to say. You know, you're doing pretty good. You're going to get one more, right? And you've already equaled that.
I've exceeded my wife's expectations.
That's weird. That's something unusual right there, yeah.
Do I get a prize then?
I will think of something.
Okay.
Which of the following places... Oh, no, I already said that one. Sorry. Which of the following can cause your helmet to deteriorate? Is it sub-freezing temperatures, heat, fly spray, or all of the above?
Ooh, that's a trick question. I'm going to guess all of the above.
You would guess correct.
Yay! The fly spray? What? Is it something with fly spray?
It must be something to do with the chemicals in fly spray, I would imagine.
You know, I fly, like, when we go outside in the summer here, especially in Florida, I fly spray my baseball hats all the time, put them on my head. So, I don't know.
Is that why they all have holes in them?
That's it. And they glow in the dark, too.
If you tested them with, like, a radioactive meter, because the amount of fly spray you use down there, you know, probably, like
there are sometimes a year. We have flies already. I mean, the flies are bad already. I noticed the horses were swatting all day yesterday. So, yeah, I know. Everybody in the Northeast would love to have flies.
Yeah, just what I was going to say. 30 degrees here. Shut it about the flies.
Do you still have snow on the ground in Lexington, or is the snow gone?
No, we don't have any snow. It's just cold.
Okay.
Cold. All right,
I am
four.
3-1. I have met Jennifer's expectations.
Yes. Okay. Can you meet number 7, though? What I said you would get right. Okay. Number 4. What should you use to clean your protective vest? Is it mild household soap and water? Hot water without soap, a 1-to-1 ratio of bleach and water, or specifically designed vest cleaner from the tack store?
You're supposed to clean those?
Oh, dear. I'm not liking your chances of getting this one right.
I'm going to go with the tack store cleaning gunk.
That would be incorrect. It's actually mild household soap and water.
Who knew? Like ivory dish soap or something like that?
Well, all I know is I don't think I've ever been in a tack store, and I'm not being sarcastic here, and seen a bottle of soapy liquid that says, use this to clean your protective vest. Just saying, Glenn. Just saying.
Maybe we could come up with a new marketing thing. Maybe that's
a
new marketing thing.
Yeah, I like that.
All we have to do is put a little ivory in each bottle, fill it the rest with water, and sell them for $25, and horse people will buy it.
Horses in the morning, body protective cleaner. You can see it now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think you should actually call it scooter cleaner, and then you'd sell loads.
Scooter cleaner. Yes, enough. Just have a picture of them in the water. It'll sell like crazy.
Right. All right. Next question. What might cause an approved helmet to no longer provide full protection? Is it has been involved in a fall or impact? It has been worn in the sun frequently? It has been worn during rain and snow frequently? Or all of the above?
You cut out a little bit on the question. What was the question?
What might cause an approved helmet to no longer provide full protection? Is it, number one, it has been involved in a fall impact? Number two, it has been worn in the sun frequently? Number three, it has been worn during rain and snow frequently, or all of the above?
All of the above.
Incorrect.
What?
That's right. The correct answer.
Your test is crap.
I said to you, in fairness, I was trying to help you that there was only one correct answer in each, which all of the above is a correct answer, but I was trying to let you hint that that wasn't the one that's very often picked. That didn't make any sense. The correct answer was, I think it, oh, whatever, it's early in the morning. It has been involved in a fall or impact was the correct answer.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Well, the heat, I guess it depends what they're clarifying as
intensity.
There's
a difference between wearing it in the sunshine and keeping it in your car, I think, Glenn. There's a subtlety that you missed on. Yeah. See, the problem here is I recognize how Glenn is not tuned into the subtleties of whatever, of anything, and yeah, that's why he missed that one. Subtlety. Yeah.
Hey, listen, this quiz is so bad, it even got me saying that you can only have one answer, and all of the above, I didn't think was one answer. I'm sorry, now I'm placing the quiz, too.
All right, well, I still only got two wrong so far.
All right, so if a helmet feels okay front to back, but is loose on the sides, what should you do? Is it add more padding on the sides? Try on another helmet, change the way you wear your hair, or purchase a helmet. That is how they should fit.
Get a haircut. It's actually, you find a helmet that fits. Would it be?
Correct. I would have been quite scared if you'd have said purchase a helmet. That's how they fit. That would have worried me.
No. I used to be the helmet trier honor at our tack shop when we had it. So I was the one to help people try on their helmets. So I am pretty good at helmet fit.
Good job. That's four. Woohoo. Is that four you've got right now? Who's keeping
five.
Count? Are you keeping count, Jennifer?
I think five. I think I've gotten five. I only got two wrong.
Okay. Right. That's fine. Wow.
I'm doing good.
Okay. Which of the following statements is true about air vests? They are required for the cross-country phase of eventing. They must be certified by the ASTM. They can be used in addition to, but not instead of, traditional body protectors for cross-country. They are prohibited for show jumping competition until further testing has been completed.
What was C again?
They can be used in addition to, but not instead of, traditional body protectors for cross-country.
See.
Yay! Woohoo! You're on a roll here, Glenn.
I know. That's good.
Two more questions to go, and he's on six.
All right.
Pressure's on.
I got six.
A safety vest should fit... Wait, yeah, how did I get six when there's 10 questions? No, you got two wrong. Six and two. Do math, Glenn. That's correct.
Yeah.
There's two questions left.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were questioning my mathematical capability.
No.
This one got me so confused. Okay. A safety vest should fit snugly to protect what? The rider's neck, lower abdomen, ribcage, chest and spine, or the heart?
Ribcage, chest, and spine.
That's another one in the bag for you.
Yay, I hit seven. See, I hit what Lindsay said. I hit seven. So I could exceed everybody's expectations if I get the next one right.
You could. Ooh, brace yourself. Final question.
I should play the celebrity trivia challenge. I could win.
I know.
On Wednesday. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
How can you tell if a helmet has been involved in a crash? There will be visible cracks or dents. There will be a soft spot when you press on it. There will be discoloration at the site of impact. Or there is no definitive way to know if a helmet has been involved in an accident.
Well, there is a definitive way. They can x-ray it.
Okay, I'm going to help you here. If you didn't have access to an x-ray machine, just saying.
I'm trying to help you. It's been an accident. I'm going to go with A.
I don't think you'd have said that, Glenn. I'm trying to help you out here.
What was A again?
There will be visible cracks or dents.
Well, yeah, that's pretty obvious. It's been involved in something, right?
Just remember, it's a bad quiz. I'm trying to help you here. There will be a soft spot. There will be a soft spot when you press on it. There will be discoloration at the site of impact, or there is no definitive way to know if a helmet has been involved in an accident, because after all, there could be damage you might not see.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go with that one. But if it's cracked, it's pretty obvious it's been involved in an accident. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that the quiz is rubbish, but we're going to give you that one anyway. With a little bit of prompting, we think you got the correct answer, which was D.
Who made this up? Okay, this is almost, these questions are almost as bad as some of the ones Jennifer comes up with on Wednesday morning.
I don't know who, I don't know who came up with those quiz questions, whatever.
And I'm just picking on you, dear. I'm just picking on you.
It wasn't my quiz questions. I told you they were from the folks at Horse Channel.
Well, Jennifer is going to try and get our first guest lined up here. And while she does that, I want to tell you a little bit about one of Lindsay's companies, High Visibility North America, is the exclusive distributor for UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. And they're having a spring promotion right now, as we've talked about here on before, they're right now on the Aspie and Quilted jackets, having up to 50% off. They are the preferred choice in the UK of thousands of equestrians, including numerous mounted police forces and even the Queen's Household Cavalry. So you don't want to miss the opportunity to stop by and save yourself 50%. Winter is not over, people. Despite what you may hope or what you may think, we have March to go yet, and now I just read a report yesterday that the meteorologists are thinking that the biggest storm could hit the Northeast of the season next week. So keep that in mind. The entire range is not only functional, it will help keep you safe, whether you're riding in the woods or on the road or out on the trail. But the neat thing about this particular line is they're also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers and dressage riders and Western riders love it. We actually wear the vests here in Florida because it's a little warmer. We wear the vests every time we go out in the road here, whether I'm driving my pony or Jennifer's riding, or whether I'm riding my bike, I actually wear a high visibility vest. So it has everything from winter jackets to the lightweight vests like we use that you can use year-round. So you definitely want to check them out. Go to highvisibilitysportswear.com. And are there all sizes of the jackets that are 50% off left? Or
no, you better hurry because there's only limited quantity at the larger discount. Yes, very limited sizes and quantity.
And I want to thank a bunch of our listeners who have gone and bought the High Visibility Sportswear. We've had several of them. I don't know if you've seen that people have posted on Facebook. They bought them for awards, and we've had people posting that, you know, of them out riding in the snow and stuff like that. So we appreciate everybody that has done that. HighVisibilitySportswear.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. Well, Lindsay, I did better than anybody in the audience thought on the test, because I know they were all thinking I'd get less than half. So I just proved you all wrong. And I just wanted to point that out again because it feels so good. But let's go now to our first guest. Do you want to introduce her?
Yes. Recently, there was a young lady by the name of Nicole LeMay, who's an event rider, and she was involved in an accident and suffered some quite serious injuries. And it was brought to our attention through the Riders for Helmets campaign. And as always, when a fellow equestrian is injured, we always like to do what we can to help, particularly with medical expenses, because they're just astronomical. So this morning we have invited Nicole's mom, Michelle, to join us to tell us a little bit about Nicole, about the accident, and about what her current medical status is. And hopefully some of our good listeners might find it in their hearts to see if they might possibly make a donation, which we'll be sharing that link as well.
Good morning, Michelle. Are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Thank you for getting up early. I know it's early there.
Oh, I'm always up early.
So, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, because I obviously realize with everything going on with your daughter, Nicole, that, you know, you have so much on your mind at the moment. But we just wanted to give the opportunity for you to kind of tell us a bit about Nicole and see if, you know, we can get our good listeners to come together in support for her, not only in prayers, but in the medical costs as well. So can you tell us a little bit about Nicole and about her background?
Well, Nicole, we've lived here, you know, our whole lives. I'm a native here, so she was born here. She has two older brothers, and we have 5 horses, 4 dogs, cat, and a rabbit, so always have lots of animals around us. And originally she started off riding a little bit Western, then we decided that she wanted to jump. So we went to some English riding, and she's kind of taken off from there and got into the stadium jumping, and she just done some eventing and does a lot of the 3-day eventing up in Flagstaff. And first year she did eventing. She got second place, and then the last year she got 3rd place. So she does well.
And how long has she been riding, Michelle? Has she been doing it from a young age?
Yeah, she started when she was about 6 years old, and started, you know, we went through a program through her school, and she started riding, and I had, you know, always loved horses myself, so I was like, yes, that would be a great sport to do, and so she started there, and then we had ended up switching schools, and Nicole was doing, we were heading up the Girl Scouts, and we met a friend of ours that is now a good friend of ours that showed us a barn that she rode at, so we started doing lessons there and everything, so.
Right, and can you, for those of our listeners that haven't read about Nicole so far on one of the Riders for Helmets websites or elsewhere, could you tell us a little bit about what happened with the accident?
With the accident, because the day, it was, you know, last Monday, we were, because, you know, originally we went to Westworld, we were watching the Arabian show all day, and then we got home. And, of course, she's, you know, Nicole does what she always does. And first thing we get home, and she wants to go ride the horses. So she went and saddled up one of our horses that we have. And I had gone inside the house just for about 15 minutes and came back out, and she was on the ground. So nobody really saw what exactly happened. You know, I mean, I have a theory. Because, you know, when I found her, she has, I mean, you could tell she didn't roll. She had no scratches, no bruises, just that she was out. And so I think, you know, possibly her horse reared up a little bit, probably knocked her out, and then she fell. So that's kind of just my theory, but that's all we can have is a theory.
Right, and what injuries did she sustain as a result of the accident?
She has a small bleed on her left thalamus gland, which is a gland that's in the very, very center of your brain and kind of regulates your communications between your brain and your body. And she has a lot of microbleeds, they call shear bleeds, and basically those are from, you know, her brain getting bounced a little bit in her head. And she has like a ligament strain in her neck. So those are you know, her injuries, because her body sustained, you know, no injuries, just her brain.
Right. And she, if I've got this correct, Michelle, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, but she was originally on a ventilator, correct? But I think recently she was taken off that. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. She was on a ventilator. She was on a lot of machines you know, regulating her. And Sunday is when she was able to get all those, all the machines off. The only thing that she's still on right now is a feeding tube because she's not aware enough yet to feed on her own. But everything else has been removed, and so she's making great strides on that.
Right, right. But obviously she's still in quite a serious condition.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically they say, you know, we're working on her time and her schedule right now when her brain feels that it's ready to reboot. And,
when it's ready, yeah. And it was brought to our attention, and how I basically first came to be aware of the situation, Michelle, was that you guys don't have any health insurance, so obviously there was a fundraiser that was established, I believe, a GoFundMe by a friend of Nicole's.
Right. The GoFundMe.com was set up by Karen, one of the Karen Bajoran. She's our lady that rides with us at the Desert Sport Horse. And and she wanted to do something, so she felt like that was, you know, going to be her contribution, which has been awesome. And we have definitely been having great support. You know, sometimes you never realize how many lives you touch until something like this happens, and it's been just really great to have all the support and love from everybody.
And we want to tell you as well from a personal note, I know Glenn, Jennifer and myself, that, you know, anything we can do to help you, Michelle, I mean, just know, please, that collectively, and I know all of the equestrians out there and even beyond the equestrian world, everybody is praying for Nicole. And, you know, I think the GoFundMe has raised about $10,000 so far, which is a fantastic start. But we're kind of now asking all of our listeners, and this is a plea from myself personally, to consider making a donation to Nicole's fund, and we'll put the link in the show notes today and also on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page and on the Riders for Helmets Facebook page. So literally, if everyone can make a small donation, even if it's just $5, medical costs, as we know with the many stories that we're told with Riders for Helmets, are absolutely astronomical. And, you know, we all do need to come together. And equestrians are such amazing as a community. I know when Courtney King Dye had her accident, there was fundraisers and various other events that went on to raise medical fund donations. And if anyone has ideas out there, you know, please share them with the family, or please get in touch through the GoFundMe page for Nicole, with her friends, with your ideas. And let's come together on this as a community, because we all want Nicole back up and riding. We want to see her well, and we want to see her completely recover from this, and that's going to take some money. So, you know, our listeners are absolutely wonderful, and we really hope, even if it's $5, even if it's $1, that everybody can consider making a donation to this, because it's so, so important, you know, because we just never know who it's going to happen to or when it's going to happen, and we all need to come together when it does. So, Michelle, thank you so, so very, very much for joining us this morning. And, you know, please do stay in touch. Please do keep us updated on how Nicole is doing. And as I said, you know, if there's anything that we can do, you know, we'll continue to get the word out there and continue to hopefully help with the donations and medical costs for you as well.
Okay, that sounds great. And, you know, because, yeah, we have to, you know, GoFundMe at GoFundMe.com. You know, and Alice Darno with the Desert Sport Horse, you know, is organizing some horse care as well. So if anybody, you know, wants to contribute to that, they can make the checks payable to Desert Sport Horse. I know they've sent you guys the address and everything. So,
Michelle, we do have that. And
okay.
Yeah, we do have that. And I wanted to say to, you know, that we on behalf of the Horse Radio Network, while you guys were talking, we just made a donation. It's very simple and easy when you use GoFundMe. It's not a difficult process. So it's very simple and easy to do. And we want you to do us a favor and give her a great big hug for all of us.
Absolutely. I will definitely do that.
And I appreciate you coming on. We're all thinking and praying for you.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Right, well, take care, Michelle.
Okay.
You know, this has made it so much easier. We've helped in years ago. We helped when a family had their farm burned down. And it was so hard to set up a place to actually get checks and contributions. And with new media now and websites like GoFundMe, it's so much easier to do. And, you know, we made a donation while we were on the phone, while you were talking to her. So it's that simple to do.
And that link will be in the show notes for today, won't it?
Yes, it will. It will be in there as well. I wonder if Jamie knew her. I'm sure Jamie's run into her at shows because they have probably evented at the same shows. And they put a video, too, up that I watched this morning. And, by the way, it's a tissue alert, so have your tissues ready. But they put a video up this morning of Mick Cole. And, boy, there was a girl that, or is a girl that just smiles, like, all the time. She just had nothing but a smile on her face, and they had a video of her riding. Good little rider, too. So you can check out that video on their page as well. So that's always tough to talk about, but so important to talk about as well. We're going to come back. We're going to take a little break for Templeton Thompson here, Lindsay, and then we're going to come back, and you have some news from the world of safety, some other things that we're going to talk about as well. So we'll be right back after this song from Templeton Thompson called, I'm trying to figure it out, called The Long Run. This one's called The Long Run.
Oh,
Well, that is The Long Run by Templeton Thompson. I'm never sure when that song is going to end. It just keeps ending there. So that is The Long Run by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, our special safety episode that we do every month with Lindsay White from Riders for Helmets. And we are brought to you today by High Visibility Sportswear. You can find all of their terrific products and the sale on their winter coats at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Well, Lindsay, you have some news in the world of safety as well for this month.
I do. There's been a few interesting things, actually. One I meant to mention on last month's show, so I'm going to mention it today. But there's a couple of things of interest this month from the news of safety. One is that a bomb suit maker has developed a riding helmet sensor, and it's called Shockbox. And as per the company's information on this, it's basically a sensor that attaches to a rider's helmet and will send immediate alerts to a smartphone following an impact with a certain range of peak G linear acceleration. And apparently this is one of the most reliable and standard methods of head impact. And then this immediate data allows the person with the phone to take the appropriate action regarding concussion assessment. And the product is already being used widely in other high-risk sports, including hockey and football, but is now being brought to the equestrian market. So that's very interesting. And I've been reading the information, and basically there's certain levels of a knock that will either produce no alert, a yellow alert, like a warning, or an orange alert, meaning that a full concussion has occurred. So that's pretty interesting. I'm quite excited in how this product's actually going to be received in the equestrian market. So that's something
you know,
to watch out for.
That is interesting because, you know, how many times have we had stories on this show about people who have fallen? Well, just look at the last story that we had, you know, with Nicole. She felt, you know, I don't know if she was wearing a helmet at the time. We don't know exactly what happened. But if she had been out there riding by herself and her mom didn't come out for an hour, she'd be laying out there. So, and trail riders, we've seen those stories all the times where they fall off on the trail, they're just out hacking their horse, and they don't come back for 2 hours, and they have to go out searching for them. What a great way to have somebody notified that there might be a problem, you know, to go check it out.
Absolutely. And just to clarify, Nicole was actually wearing a helmet, because they did tell me that. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but, you know, and there's a situation where mom might have gotten there sooner, you know, had she gotten that text. What a great idea.
Yeah, really great idea.
Now, that's
put
out by Reebok, too. That's a Reebok thing.
No, well, that one's not Reebok. This one's from a company called Shockbox, or the product is
okay.
Shockbox. There is one by Reebok as well, now that you mentioned that. And Reebok is a head impact indicator check light. Now, that one, I believe, is only currently being used in football. There hasn't been any transgression into the equestrian market. But either way, anything, no matter which company it's by, that can be used to, you know, let equestrians know these products are out there is fantastic. So there is a product called Shockbox. It's www.theshockbox.com. And then the Reebok one, I think it's called Checklight, is the Reebok impact indicator. So both of those, you know, go look them up and learn more about them. And anything like this that can help with concussion awareness is fantastic.
They fit on, like the Shockbox will fit on a current helmet. In other words, it's not
I
a special helmet. It's just,
yeah, I believe them are basically attached to the helmet, yeah. And then the other piece of news is the one I meant to mention last month is the inflatable bike helmet. This is a product that is at the moment only for cyclists, not equestrians, but it'll be interesting to see if it makes the jump into the equestrian world. And it's developed by a physiotherapist in Stockholm that took a spill from a bike one morning and basically hit her head. She wasn't wearing a helmet and wasn't badly injured, but basically her scarf, when she fell off, inflated into a helmet-shaped airbag, kind of cocooning her head. And that literally is what gave her the idea for this. So it's something that basically fits around your neck, And in the event that you come off your bike, it inflates and literally blows up like a helmet. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, this video has made the rounds, and we actually talked about it a little while ago. We were kind of making fun of it because you look pretty silly when it inflates. But, you know, if it saves your head, who cares if you look silly? This is an interesting one because I kind of wonder, you know, will it make any inroads into equestrian at all, simply because, you know, I don't see that you'd want to replace your helmet. So,
yeah.
You know, it would have, I don't know how it would work, you know, with a helmet on your head or anything like that. I don't know. This is an interesting one where we weren't quite sure about.
The only thing I could see, because everybody, well, not everybody, because obviously the Western riders don't, so maybe the Western riders are a market for it, but, you know, in the English disciplines, pretty much people are wearing helmets now. So I can't see, like you say, that it's going to replace a regular helmet, but wouldn't it be interesting, like, you wear the blow-up vest over a regular air vest now, that if you could wear something that offered additional protection to your head by blowing up but had the ability to go over, expand over your regular helmet? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, that's what I was – or built into the regular helmet. Like, the airbags are now built into vests, you know,
exactly.
So that kind of thing.
The cushion in addition, but I mean they're pretty expensive too. I mean you're looking at about $540, so I don't think it's going to make a leap unless, you know, they find a way to make it work with regular helmets, I guess.
Interesting. Well, you know, this is I wonder how, does this one go off, does it say when it goes off?
I believe, I'm just trying to read here to say,
it contains sensors that pick up the abnormal movements of a cyclist in an accident triggering the airbag. So it picks up that movement when you're flying through the air and not cycling anymore, apparently.
Yeah, and it inflates, obviously, within a fraction of a second. So interesting. But, I mean, there is obviously a large number of cyclist deaths a year. And if, you know, people don't want to necessarily wear the helmet, but wear the blow-up, I can see it there. But like I say, in the equestrian world, I think it would probably, like, and maybe that's your money when it's blend, is that it gets incorporated into a helmet. That could be that could be your retirement.
There could be. You know, they're doing so many things with gyroscopes now, and, you know, all smartphones have gyroscopes. And they're able to do so many things. It was really cool on Shark Tank the other day, and then I checked out the app. They had a guy who took the phones, the vibration that the phone makes when it rings, you can set it to vibrate. Well, he took that, wrote an app, this is one smart guy, wrote an app, and you could take your iPhone, set it on end on a table, and it will take a 360-degree panorama of the room, and the way it works is it takes a picture. And after it takes a picture, it causes the phone to vibrate, and the vibration is at such a frequency and so precise that it'll turn the phone a little bit and take another picture, turn the phone a little bit, and it does that in a complete 360 and gives you a perfect 360-degree picture of your room.
Wow.
That's just incredible stuff when you think about the programming that goes into making that vibration work at the right frequency to make it turn just enough to take the next picture. It's really cool stuff.
It really is. It's amazing technology and the leaps, isn't it?
Yeah. It is interesting.
So what have we got next? Are we doing the trail Safe Habits for Trail Riding, I believe, is it next?
Yeah, you know, we found this list. I found this list this morning, and Jennifer will have something to say about a couple of these. You know, most of the lists that you find out there about safety on the trail are pretty obvious, and this one has some obvious things in it, but, you know, sometimes we overlook the obvious, too, when we're going out to ride on the trail. And so I'll go over a couple of these, but there were a couple I wanted to really highlight and have Jennifer talk a little bit on from the training point of view. And, you know, the first one on the list is teach your horse to respect your space. And, you know, that's something that I think that we all learn pretty early on, that we have a space and that we need to know what that is, and the horse needs to know what that is. The second one was insist on two eyes, and that is if you can see both the horse's eyes, it's harder for them to kill you. And Clinton Anderson says...
I noticed that you chose your words carefully there, harder to.
Yes. it's harder for them to kill you. If and you know it is true. I've heard this before. Clinton Anderson has a quote, and he says a horse cannot kick you or run away from you if he's got both eyes on you. So that is something that's interesting, and that usually means you're in a position where the horse is not going to get you, you know, unless they do something really weird. Pay attention to where you're standing. Don't walk up straight behind a horse. I think these are things that most of us know without announcing yourself. You know, don't get in their blind spot without, you know, touching their butt or, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, those are things that we're all pretty aware of. You know, when you're standing in front of them, of course, pawing, you know, if your horse has a tendency to paw, then making sure you're not in pawing range is something to keep in mind, too. This is one that
my personal favorite is you get down on your hunkers because you need to do something to the lower part of the horse's body, and just casually you happen to have your head right where, when they stomp at a fly, you get a knee in the temple. That's the most common one. I see it all the time. You're down there doing your thing, and you're just, you know, you're scraping some dirt off the outside of their hoof. You're examining a nick or a cut on their leg, and you have your head just in that right range. That is so easy to do.
And painful.
And, yeah.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Now, this one, Jennifer, we have seen this, and the natural horseman will tell you not to do this. And actually, we've had some people on the show that have said this is not necessarily a good idea, that a horse should learn to do this from both sides. And that is tack and untack the same way every time and from the same side. And, you know, what they're talking about is that you do every snap in the same order and every buckle in the same order so your horse gets used to it, and that you don't give them a surprise pinch or a pull or that kind of thing. Yet, you know, one of the things that that trail riders will tell you and endurance riders say is not to do it the same way every time, because you may have times you have to tack up, you may have to dismount on a ride. And then you may have to mount from a different side. You may have to deal with the saddle from a different side. You may have to fix from a different side. That they should be used to both sides. I don't know. Do you guys have an opinion on that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay.
I think the point of this, the spirit of the law, so to speak, is that you need to have a engraved in stone checklist. When a pilot gets into an airplane, he goes through a checklist every single time. Because, hello, once you're up in the air, there's not a lot of time or room for error. And I think it's more so than tacking up in the same order, but you need to have that mental checklist when you go riding, that checklist happens every single time you ride and in the same order you ride, so that you're on the trail, you have to get off, you have to do something, adjust, tack, get back on. You have that checklist so that you don't climb back on, and after you've climbed aboard, then you realize that you forgot to buckle something or you didn't do something. And that's the important part of that one, I think.
Right. Okay. And then you tighten your girth or cinch three times. How many times have we all seen that rider go around and the saddle starts slipping to the side and then the rider is riding under the horse? We've all seen it happen, and it's all because we get a little bit lazy and we forget to do that double check.
I'll tell you now, Glenn. I have memories that are still ingrained in my brain, like a horror story of when I was 4 years old getting onto a fat little black Shetland pony, assuming my mother had done up the girth, her assuming I wouldn't be stupid enough to get on the pony without checking the girth, my putting my foot in the stirrup and promptly sliding underneath the pony, Stelwell style.
Oh, no!
I learned at a very young age, check your girth.
And check it three times.
That's right.
And it says the first time you tighten the cinch, that's number one, you make it barely snug. You walk your horse and do a little groundwork, or you do the leg pulling thing in the front and, you know, stretching thing, and then you tighten it again, and then you make sure when you're on the horse you do that third tighten. So that's something, you know, but we get kind of lazy. You get lazy or in a hurry or, you know, something, you know, you're thinking about something else, and that one is so easy to forget, and it's probably the most common one on this list.
Yeah. And learn to tighten your girth while sitting on the horse.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And you believe it or not, you can do that in an English or a Western saddle. A little trickier with the Western saddle, but teach yourself that. It's an excellent skill.
Next one, Jennifer, you can speak to this. Install an emergency handbrake. Practice the one rein stop. And what they're not talking about just yanking the horse's head with one rein and in an uncontrollable fashion. So what do you do? Like, and obviously this is obviously if you lose for some reason you lose a rein or you lose use of one of your hands. What do you recommend here?
Well, it's just like teaching your horse any other skill in that you school the horse so that he learns. When his head is brought around to the side to a certain degree, somewhere along the lines of his nose getting close to touching your toe, that he has the physical capability to stop himself and the mental acuity to realize that that's a good thing to do. It's just like training any other skill, like a half halt. And you teach the horse the same way you would to teach a half halt in that you school. You teach the horse that he can give to the bit, to use a Western term, in that you pull the right rein, his head turns right, and that he can stop. Because for a lot of horses, he doesn't realize he can stop his body when his head is in that position. He gets off balance, and he's going, oh, my God, I can't stop, and he gets panicky. And that's where you see the pulley rein, the bearing rein, the single rein stop. That's where you see it go bad. Someone will have a horse that's bolting or that is out of control. They'll try to turn the horse into a circle or turn his head to the side, and the horse bolts because he's never been taught that he really can stop when he turns his head like that, and he can do it comfortably. So this is a do your homework, people, and different disciplines and different horse riding styles have different names for it and different subtleties of the technique, but they all consist of a direct rein, pull the right rein, horse turns head right, and teaching the horse that this is a signal to slow down and or stop safely, and that it is a good thing to do. So look it up on YouTube, ask your riding instructor, get some DVDs. It's really handy, and it can save your neck.
Next one is get control of nervous feet by teaching your horse to bend in a circle. And he goes on to say this is another deceptively simple exercise that can be a lifesaver when you need to get control of your horse that is nervous or panicked, like when the bear comes out of the woods. Bending your
right.
horse this way and that can take his attention away from something he finds scary and put it on you. So is there some way you practice
yeah.
this?
That's a light bulb moment. Way back when, before we had driving horses, a wise horseman took me out for a drive in a cart with a well-broke pony, and the pony wanted to spook at something alongside the road. And the first thing I wanted to do, because the pony wanted to spook left, and I didn't want the pony to drive himself into the ditch that was on the left, I wanted to turn his head right. And this wise horseman said, wrong answer. He can't spook at something he doesn't see. Turn his head the other way, which at the time was very counterintuitive to me, because that to me meant, well, that just means the horse is going to spook to the left even faster, when, in fact, he was perfectly correct. If the horse is staring at something on the right that he wants to spook at, if you, again, have done your homework and schooled your horse that I can turn your head left and not necessarily run left, it can save your neck. He can't see it. He's not focused on it. He's less likely to panic about it. And that's, again, a very, very useful tool. It's one of the first things that I would teach a horse off the racetrack, because when you're on the racetrack, you can turn your head left or right and gallop madly. It's not a signal to slow down, stop, or turn. was to teach a horse that he can turn and make a circle and slow down, and it's a good thing to do. So it relates to the previous one. Excellent skill. Ask your riding instructor. Go on YouTube. Buy a DVD.
All right, cool. And then just a couple more here. One of these is easier than the other, and that's the first one is teach your horse to disengage his hindquarters. Every move your horse makes requires power from the hind end, so when you feel things starting to head in a dangerous direction, the very best thing you can do is take away the power. Apply heel pressure right behind the girth or cinch until your horse's back leg on that side crosses in front of the opposite hind leg. So talk about that a little bit.
And this is actually a more difficult skill set, but once again, it relates to the two above it, because when you turn your horse in a tiny little circle, he will, as the circle gets tinier and tinier, he will eventually do this of his own accord. So this is more of a detailed version. Instead of using ABS brakes on your car, you learn to manually pump the brakes, is what's going on here. So when the horse is crossing one hind leg over the other, he's moving his hindquarters to the right, his left hind comes in front of the right hind to do it, you are preventing him from moving in a straightforward fashion, and he will have the ability to stop himself. So kind of read up on it, learn about it bit by bit. You'll see this very commonly in the Western and in the natural horsemanship families, where you learn to do what's called disengage the hindquarters. He's stepping over himself. He can't run fast in a straight line while he's doing it.
Right, right. And then the last one, and this one, you know, if it's done correctly, it will give you a lot of confidence. If it's done incorrectly, you will also be in the hospital. And that is bail out safely. Learn and practice the emergency dismount, probably with guidance.
See, this one's a double-edged sword, because, like you said, if it's done incorrectly, you will land yourself somewhere with some broken somethings. But aside from using it in a panic situation, it is an extremely useful tool to give you confidence that when you do come off a horse involuntarily, it's something that you can manage emotionally, and it's also an excellent tool to learn body awareness. Kind of like when you do balance beam and you're a gymnast, you learn to fall off the balance beam, you learn to jump off the balance beam. It's a similar skill in that once you start coming undone, you can come undone in as safe a fashion as you can given the circumstances. So it is a good skill to have, even if you do not disagree with the bail out when your horse bolts method, which is some people buy into that, and I can argue both sides of that. Learning how to do it is a useful skill, and like you said, under guidance, learn to do it, and it could save your neck someday.
It sounds like something Lindsay practiced involuntarily when you were a kid.
Listen, my mother has a lot to answer for. So there was another time on a pony, and this pony was probably about 14-2, but he was a little bit bigger for me because it was a school pony, so I was riding him rather than my own. And she decided she was going to give me a leg up. So she promptly did the thing in the foot, shoved me up, went straight off and over the other side. I said, Mother, next time you attempt to give me a leg up, the aim is to try and get me into the saddle, not the other side on the floor. I mean, she's great. I'll make my mother sound so wicked now.
I think all mothers, when you're that age, want to throw you off the other side.
I mean, at what age, Lindsay, did your mom stop helping you and then you started to enjoy riding horses?
probably well enough 4.5, because at the age of 4, gosh, first 6 months, my fourth year. No, I kid, but seriously, when she did do that, I didn't just land just the other side of the pony. I mean, I went about 10 feet the other side of the pony. I make it sound not as bad as it really was. It was like a rocket launch. I mean, it was in spectacular fashion. My dad was just bent over double, dying in laughter. I didn't find it so funny, but...
You know, I had a discussion with Wendy. This is not only for riders, but drivers as well. I had a discussion with Wendy the one day, and, you know, most of the professional drivers practice dismounting out of the carriage safely, because one of the things, you know, if your horse bolts and you've got a situation or any other situation that goes on, and there's a number of them that Jennifer and I ran into, that the train situation being the worst one that we had, we were on a carriage drive, probably about 50 carriages. We were all eating lunch in a park, and a train pulled up right beside us and put on its brakes and squealed and sent about half of those rigs bolting, half the horses bolting with and without the drivers, almost killing people, running people over. And you know, there are certain situations where a carriage driver has to learn to, you know, you have to know what your exit is. And one of the things we have to worry about as carriage drivers is the wheel is open and has spokes on it. You get your hand or leg caught in that wheel, you're going to take it off. It's going to be gone. Your horse is, you know, your horse is taken off and your leg or hand get caught in the wheel between it and the carriage, you're done. And that's what one of the things that, you know, there's certain carriages that are more dangerous than others too. Wendy has clever names she calls them, which I won't repeat here. But, you know, there's certain carriages that she said, you're not getting that kind because they were just too dangerous to get out of in an emergency situation. And it's something you always have to look at. But so that also applies to drivers as well. Hey, before we wrap up the show here today, I wanted to mention that tomorrow we will be playing the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Lindsay gave me a trivia today. Well, we're going to give Julie Goodnight some trivia tomorrow. She is the celebrity playing, and we'll be playing against one of our listeners in a Celebrity Trivia Challenge, and we have some great prizes lined up. And Jennifer, I think we're giving away one of the best prizes I think that we have going right now is the I'm trying to remember what we're giving away tomorrow. It's one of Julie Goodnight's DVDs, and it's also the grooming kit, right?
The Horse Grooming Solutions grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100.
That's right. So, and I used, I got to tell you, Lindsay, it was the my pony, despite what you see in that video, hates baths. And it really just, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? You just rolled in water for 10 minutes, and you're going to tell me you hate the hose. So one of the things they have is this wash, and you hook your hose to the bottle, and you don't have to scrub the pony at all. No sponges, nothing. You just use, it's like being at the car wash, and you just wash them with this solution. Jennifer's going to tell me what it is. I don't remember the exact name of it. It was the coolest thing. It got my pony perfectly clean. I didn't have to scrub. And then using the same hose arrangement, you rinse them, and you're done. It's like going to the car wash, and the pony didn't have me, you know, with sponges and all that other stuff. Nothing. It was done in 3 minutes, and the pony was clean. What's it called, Denver?
It's the Healthy Hair Care Herbal Body Wash.
It is great stuff. Highly recommended and horse husband approved. If you're going to get your horse husband to wash the horse, get him some of this. And it lasts a long time. I mean, we had that running for 4 or 5 minutes with the pony. And you know what? We didn't use hardly any of it. They say a whole jug will last about 20 washes. So that's what you'll also find in the prizes. But go out and find some of that. It is really, really good stuff. And I also wanted to say that because we're sponsored by High Visibility North America, Happy Barbie posted on our Facebook page a couple minutes ago. Howdy, Glenn and Lindsay. I am so excited. UPS just emailed me to tell me my High Visibility jacket, vest, and helmet band are coming today. Can't wait to wear it to the Horse World Expo so my friends can find me. Dual purpose. And I have 4 real donkeys that would love to have you do chariots on them. So there you go.
That's excellent. Well, I hope you like your high-vis gear, and you have to send us a photo of you wearing it for sure. So
that's a good idea. I never thought about wearing it to the expo so your friends could find you. There's a good idea. Yeah.
Definitely. And I want to give a mention as well because our dear friend, Courtney King Dye, gave birth to a little girl on February 20th.
Yes, a little baby.
8 pounds, 4 ounces, and they have named her River Madison Dye, which I think is an absolutely beautiful name. And Courtney actually posted on her blog yesterday, and she said, yesterday I was resting with her skin on skin, and it was the closest thing I felt to heaven. No amount of gold medals could come close to matching this feeling.
Oh, cool.
That's just awesome. So I'm so happy for Courtney. And if I may just say one last thing before we wrap up today's show as well. I want to also say a special prayer as well as for Nicola May, whose mom we had on earlier in the show, but also to Michael Schumacher, the seven times Formula One world champion, because he still does remain in a coma 2 months after having a skiing accident. And I have to say, I'm getting a bit knocked off with the media, particularly the British media over this, because they are making things up, making claims about his current diagnosis, you know, putting all this false information out there. And it's got to be so hard for the family and his wife and children. And I wish they would stop. And I know they're not going to listen to me. But it is heartbreaking because, you know, you keep hearing things saying they're stopping bringing him out of the coma. And then his spokesperson has to put a release out to say, no, we are still bringing him out of the coma, you know, attempting to bring him out of the coma. You know, the family does not need that at this time. They just need leaving alone, and the media needs to find something better to do because it is so, so sad. I, being British, I'm a big Formula One fan, grew up watching Michael Schumacher and, you know, have so much, so much inspiration by him for being such a great athlete and such a great person as well. And it's just so, so sad, I think. So I would just like to say one quote from Michael in closing, and that is, I've always believed that you should never, ever give up, and you should always keep fighting even when there's only the slightest chance. You know, so keep fighting, Michael, because we're all rooting for you, and we really hope you do come out of the coma and it's a happy ending like it was with Courtney.
Well, you know, I think Courtney is someone that can give Michelle and Nicole and that whole the LeMay family some hope too, because when we first, you know, when we first started covering her accident and she was in ICU and they weren't sure whether she was going to come out of a coma, and look what she's accomplished now, and now she's a mom, you know, which 2 years ago we never thought she would be.
Yeah.
So there is always hope, and you should never give that up. You know, the medical bills, they are what they are, and they'll take care of themselves. It's the person that we care about. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the stress of the medical bills there, and you know that from your situation too, you know, the stress of the medical bill there does not help. It certainly does not help, but, you know, we're hoping that Nicole can pull out of this and come
Absolutely.
Out the other end and be in Courtney's situation in 2 years from now, too.
Absolutely.
Well, very good. Thank you, Lindsay. Once again, a terrific safety show here on Horses in the Morning. I am, again, looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. I'll be there, and we'll be hanging out together over at Road to the Horse. So, and it'll be my first trip back to Lexington, actually, since we moved.
What restaurant are you most looking forward to visiting while you're here? There's got to be some favorite food you've missed from Lexington.
Ramsay's. I mean, got to go.
Ramsay's. We're going to have to go for Ramsay's.
Yeah.
Let's go for breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go to Ramsay's when you're there, right? I mean, it's just part of what you have to do. Ramsay's and the pub. Oh, the pub, too. Oh, I got to go to the pub. Is the pub still open?
It is, but I have to say, your take on how good the fish and chips are versus mine, we might beg to differ on how great you think they are.
I don't like real fish and chips. I like fake fish and chips.
I hope nobody from the pub's listening, but I'm sorry you do not do them British style.
No, see, Jennifer doesn't like British fish and chips. She's tried them. She really likes the fake fish and chips. She likes the American style. I like the shepherd's pie at the pub. The shepherd's pie at the pub is really good.
Now, the shepherd's pie is good. I will give them that. They've got that pie.
Oh, that's good stuff. And the girls in the very, very, very short kilts aren't bad either. Just
oh, yeah. I'll make them bad, Jennifer. Don't you worry.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Give out your websites, Lindsay.
It's highvisibilitysportswear.com and riders, and then the number 4, helmets, plural.com.
Thank you, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back. We'll have a fun Wednesday morning show for you, and also the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. If you haven't signed up yet, go to horsesinthemorning.com, big banner in the middle of the page. It takes a couple minutes to sign up, and you, too, could play one Wednesday morning against one of our fabulous celebrities. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate you being here. And everybody, I'm going to go out now and find a real donkey to ride.
Bye, overachiever.